You are now listening to the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. As always, I am your host Daniel Lee, or Photos by DLEE. So this week we're going to be talking about a topic that can probably come up very often, especially if you frequent forums like DP Review and that, on if you should switch camera bands. I'll also briefly go into pretty much the only sort of big announcement that's happened in the past 2 weeks as of recording in terms of gear. There's always controversy about, you know, anything Canon releases, so, you know, people are still complaining about the R5 and the R6 and certain aspects of that. I might touch on that a little bit, but we'll see how we go. So first things first, what I've been up to. Finished my game. On a personal non-photography note, I only watched The Office, so the US version, this year for the very first time. That was an amazing show. Like, it's so funny. Easily one of the best shows I've ever watched. Most people, you know, have watched it probably 6, 7, 10 times over already, whereas I've only just watched it the once, and I'm already really excited to watch it again. I also finished catching up with How to Get Away with Murder, another show that I'd never actually watched. Two really great shows, some of the best shows I've ever watched. So right now I'm feeling like, you know, what do I do now? What do I watch? You know, I've got to find a new show to actually take up my time and really catch my interest again after this is over. Obviously, the smarter thing to do would be get back into my photography and shoot more, but just still quite not feeling it. So still just taking that little bit longer break. But the itch is starting to come back more and more. Now I just got to wait for the weather to stop raining every single weekend. So to jump into news, the main news that I'd like to talk about is Sigma has finally released, well, I'd say finally, but you'll get to hear the finally part soon, a 85mm f1.4 DGDN art lens for Sony E-mount and Panasonic L-mount. Now, people are probably wondering, hey, isn't there already a Sigma, you know, 85mm art lens that was for DSLRs that, you know, you can adapt to mirrorless? Yes, that is the case, but with this one has a very important sort of character or feature that was a huge issue with the original one. So the original one, as you know, was well over 1 kilo. It's massive lens, bigger than the Sony 85-1.4, Canon 85-1.2. It's bigger than everything. It's gigantic. It's, you know, stupidly large. This one is only 630 grams with a 77mm filter thread. In comparison, it's very similar in size to the Samyang 85mm f1.4 that I own, and it's a little bit smaller than the 85mm 1.4 GM lens from Sony. One thing it does share in common with the Sony is the fact that it has 11 aperture blades. What this means is you'll get really nice bokeh across the frame, like it'll be a lot circular in comparison. With the Samyang and the 85mm f1.8 from Sony, you'll find it's a bit more of a cat-eyed shape towards the edge of the frame, whereas this, theoretically, you shouldn't have that issue if it's as good as the GM lens. Most initial reviews I've seen, it seems to have really good AF, really good autofocus performance, very accurate and fast. Some sort of highlights of it, obviously with the fast autofocus, is 15 elements in 11 groups with 5 SODS and 1 aspherical lens. It actually has an AFL button, focus mode switch, it's dust and splash proof apparently. Comes with a hood and a lock, so unfortunately for me, in terms of what I like for lenses, this actually has an aperture ring, which, you know, I don't really like. Because of that, this one actually comes with a lock on it, so that way it won't just simply go out of nowhere. Because with a lot of Sony lenses, you'll find that you can have clickable and non-clickable, but even when it is clickable and declicked, it can still, you know, get initiated by mistake, and it often goes f16 straight away down to f1.4, which is a hassle, whereas this actually has a lock, so that won't happen. So I guess if people keep adding these aperture rings, which I do not like, it'll be a lot better if they make it like this Sigma. If only every manufacturer did what Canon did. Canon have their control rings, I believe they're called, where you can actually customize and choose what function you want on that ring, and it looks just like a focus, manual focus ring, or a zoom ring. It doesn't have some stupid look and writing on it. I like the personally a really clean design. That's why Canon's lens is still number one to me. Sony make really great optical lenses, but their rendering a lot of the time just isn't there. That's the main issue with a Sony lens for me. get more into that later on. Aside from that, this Sigma lens is compatible with the Sigma USB dock, which is sold separately, and it's for L mount only. Otherwise, there's not much else to it. This lens is definitely something I find interesting and intriguing. Would I sell my Sony to buy it? Probably not. I mean, not my Sony, my Samyang. Purely because I'm happy with the Samyang. This one comes in, I think, at around 1100 US, which would be probably at least 1800 or more AUD. Oh, yep. So I got manufactured, suggested retail price is $1,199 US. So yeah, for us, the stores are really trying to jack the price up of stuff at the moment. So probably over $2,000, just guessing, who knows. But either way, it would be a lot more compared to the Samyang. The Samyang is amazing for the price, amazing for the quality. So not going to switch with that anytime soon. If Sigma give the same treatment to their 35mm art, now that's a different story. That would be very hard to resist. If they can make something around, say, 400, 500 grams in an f1.4 lens, something that we haven't seen that small yet, I will have no choice but to jump at it. I'll have to sell the Sony and I'll have to get it. As long as the rendering is good as well. I feel like the Sony is a great lens. I haven't given it enough use and really given enough credit, but you know, we'll see how we go with that one. Might keep it, might not. Depends on what gets released. I'd really love an f1.4, but I don't want that size right now. So that pretty much covers it for the Sigma lens. And the only thing I think is really worth as newsworthy, you'll find online on a lot of forums, discussions are still continuing about the Canon R5 and R6 and its heating issues. If you look at reviews, obviously you know I don't do video reviews. Some really good ones to check out are from Gordon Lang. His videos, he does pure stills only. He does not talk about any video at all. He only covers stills. So definitely check out his reviews on both the R5 and the R6. They're very good to see. One thing that he noted, which I found very interesting, was that the Canon R6, even though it's only 20 megapixels, you can't see any noticeable difference in sharpness and quality compared to the 26 megapixel Canon EOS RP. So even though it has that higher resolution technically, the Canon R6 still manages to resolve a lot of detail for a 20 megapixel sensor. When he did a bit of a dynamic range test, it looks like very, very clean. Canon have closed that gap, so all the people that love to complain about Canon's dynamic range, that's not really a viable thing anymore as of the R5 and the R6, assuming they maintain that, which I don't see them going backwards, but you know, they should definitely keep that up. Now, the reason it's good to talk about this right now, I think, as well, is onto the main topic of if you should switch brands. Now, for me personally, for those who don't know, I originally shot Canon, so I started with a 550D and, you know, just some cheaper lenses. Eventually, I managed to get a 6D because I won a competition, a local photography competition back in Perth called the Passion for Perth Photographies competition. That gave me enough money to buy a 6D. That was on sale. The 6D was on sale for $1,414 with 15% off and $200 cashback from Canon. And I won $1,500. So at the time, I was pretty broke. So it was like a huge, huge thing. Like it's a cool, you know, it was meant to be. I was meant to get that camera. Next, I went to the Canon 6D Mark II. I liked that camera, but I really, really wanted a mirrorless camera, a full frame mirrorless. That's all I wanted. Canon didn't have it at the time, so I made the switch to Sony, which I wrote a big article on that. Can probably link in the show notes if you do want to read about that, but that's more focused on mirrorless than the actual brands or anything. So here we are now with the Canon R5 and R6 released. Even though I'm shooting Sony, I've always been a big Canon fan. I still am a Canon fan. I love their ergonomics, their bodies, like everything they do is, you know, in terms of the photography stuff, I really enjoy. In the same sense, I do really enjoy Sony as well. A lot of people online will like to make it out to say that Sony are these amazing, amazing cameras that cannot be beat. You know, nothing comes close to them. Every other camera brand's inferior. It's not the case. If you know what you're doing, you will get good images regardless of what you are using. If you look at Sony versus Canon, you know, especially now, Canon having got a much stronger processor, which has helped them now. They seem to be able to have a lot better dynamic range and image quality. Lenses wise, Sony and Canon are pretty much, I'd say, neck to neck. They both make amazing and fantastic lenses. Canon, obviously, with their mount, do make a bit more sort of high end out there lenses like the 85 and 50mm f1.2. But at the same time, Sony are no slouch either. They do make really great lenses. You'll find no matter what system you shoot, there will always be good lenses of each, you know, each system, say Nikon, Sony, Canon will always have two or three lenses that are just very good and very unique to that system. And those are the ones that you really need to look at and see if they match when you come to, if you want to switch. Now, getting back to that original point, with the R6 being out, I'd always use the 60 line. This is very, very tempting for me to switch back. Now, if you're in that same situation where you think you want to switch and you're not sure whether you should or if it's worth it, the number one question to ask yourself is, what is the reason? Why do you want to switch? So for me, I can tell you right now, it's, I'd say 80 to 90% gas, like gear acquisition syndrome. This is new, it's shiny, I want it. Now I'll go into reason why I do want to switch back as well. So number one reason is I shouldn't have switched in the first place. So I switched out of gas. I was perfectly happy with Canon. I had no complaints, but I wanted a full frame mirrorless. I was impatient to wait. The Sony had one, so I switched. I sold everything. You know, obviously you lose money anytime you switch, which is another thing you have to consider. So that's why I did it. Because of that, I feel like I should right that wrong and go back to Canon, you know, and just sort of correct that, which isn't the right sort of mentality about it. Because at the end of the day, my Sony system now serves me really well. Autofocus, I have no issues. You know, image quality, definitely no issues. Lenses, I have all the lenses I want. And, you know, Sony do have some good offerings, especially when it comes to third parties. The next thing you should sort of really consider if you want to switch is, you know, does your gear limit you? So if, you know, you are choosing to switch because you're limited, then that's fine. You have to just make sure that new system you're moving to is, you know, going to fulfill what your current system does. So say you're shooting currently with a 200D Canon DSLR, APS-C DSLR, and you want something better that's better in low light and something for a specific type of photography, which, you know, Canon don't have. In those kind of situations, it can be good to switch because say hypothetically, you have an APS-C DSLR, but you want to go like I, for example, you know, 200D, like I said, that Canon 200D, but you want a full frame mirrorless camera. Now, regardless, you're going to probably get new lenses because, you know, if you use APS-C lenses generally on full frame mirrorless, they'll put it into APS-C mode. So you're not going to make the most use of that full frame sensor. So if that was the scenario, there's literally no point in, you know, switching, keeping to your brand because you'd probably be selling off all your gear anyway to fund that new, to move to full frame. So you could technically go anywhere. Now, if you have an APS-C body with all full frame lenses, still then it doesn't count because, you know, you're either adapting them to say, we'll just use Canon for example. If you had all full frame EF lenses, you're going to be either adapting them or replacing them with RF lenses if those same equivalents are available. So you're potentially selling off all your gear anyway. So if you were to switch brands, whether it be Nikon, Sony, or even, you know, you switch from Nikon to Canon, Canon to Nikon, Sony to Nikon, Sony to Canon, it doesn't matter. The only time it sort of matters, or you should really, really put a lot of thought into it, is if, say, for example, you have an EOS R with a whole bunch of RF lenses and you're thinking of switching to Nikon or to Sony, or, you know, you're like my situation where you have a full Sony kit and you're thinking of switching back to Canon. You have to look, is it really gas? Are you going to gain anything really meaningful from that switch? Or is it just something you feel like you want to do because you want a shiny new toy? My main complaints with the Sony system is just, I'll put it down to three things. So number one, their rendering of lenses. That could be a bit better for some lenses. There's some that look really great, like the 24mm GM that has quite nice rendering for such a wide angle lens. You know, otherwise, actually, to be honest, that's probably the main one that I really like. They do have other lenses like the 90mm that has quite nice rendering, but the bokeh isn't as good. The other thing that I'm sort of not too fond of with Sony is the fact that the articulating screen and the EVF. So you'll find with Canon, they tend to offer quite good ergonomics regardless of which body it is. There are, will be some stuff like build quality, you know, that'll be different. But if you look at something like the EOS R, it wasn't a high-end body, even the R6. Not a high-end body, yet you still got a decent screen and a quite decent EVF on it. Whereas with Sony, they tend to limit the ergonomics quite a bit. Like here you are with a Canon 6R6 that's, you know, not even like a high-end body, but it's still got like a 3 million dot EVF, which is, you know, sounds low compared to something like the Sony A92. But if you look at my Sony one, which isn't even 1 megapixel, it's, you know, blows it away, 3 times better. There is no denying that, no debating that, no matter what you say. The Canon wipes the floor with my Sony. The rear screen, the fact that it doesn't fully articulate prior to the A7S III, that's another thing that I don't particularly like. How things are going to be moving on, it's hard to say, but one thing I also, probably the third thing I don't really like about Sony is how frequently their releases are. I personally liked Canon and Nikon's old 4-year upgrade. You know, you knew it was coming at the end of 4 years. You could be excited for it. The hype would build up over then, that sort of thing. But at the same time, your old gear didn't get devalued straight away. I remember, I think it was when the 6500 or something came out. 6300 came out, then a few months, 6 months later, they released the A6500. Imagine how you feel like you spent this money on this body and it's already been replaced. So if you did want to upgrade or sell it off, you're going to lose money on that already. For me, you know, resale value is a huge thing. That's why another reason why I like, you know, less frequent releases, but I guess each person is different. Some people like it and some people are happy to upgrade, but at the same time, you're wasting all this money on R&D to replace your body so frequently, which I think is also, as I mentioned in one previous episode, hurting the camera industry because people are just focusing more on secondhand gear because before something can be even used thoroughly, it's being sold. So what's the point in buying brand new for some people? And that's why camera sales keep declining because more and more people just keep buying secondhand. So if you look at those three complaints about Sony, are they enough to warrant switching? No, because the fact is, if you look at the screen and the EVF is one thing, the A7 Mark IV could pretty much fix that. I could just sell my camera and then when that comes out, replace it with that. And all my, I'd be good for like, I don't know how long, maybe 5-10 years, who knows. That's the main issue. And then when it comes to the frequent releases, it is an annoyance, but it's not something that's worth losing money over selling it. Because you're very rarely going to make the same money, you know, make your money back completely. If you buy a lens, a body brand new for $2,000, for example, you would pretty much struggle to sell it back for that much again as well. So in that case, you know, you have to, as I mentioned, you have to look, is it worth it? Am I going to gain something? For me, I know it's a no at this point. Come 2-3 years down the track, once Canon fill out their lens lineup and I have the same RF lenses on, you know, Canon, because I don't want to go back for EF lenses because I know I'd sell them the second the RF lens comes out. So I'm going to lose more money there. For me, it's best to just be patient, wait, see what Canon release lens-wise, see what Sony release, and keep using my camera for now. Because number one, as you know, I haven't even been shooting that much, so it's not like I do it professionally. I can really warrant losing money with doing the switch back. Number two, if I was to switch back, the only lenses I could see myself getting would probably be this Canon 35mm f1.8 IS lens and probably the Samyang 85mm f1.4 in Canon RF mount. Otherwise, I can't really see any other lenses that I would want or be able to afford. They also don't have any real proper dedicated one-to-one macro lens yet in the RF mount, like a 100mm RF lens. And I'm also kind of worried of how expensive it will be when it does release. But regardless of all that, you know, I'm going to stick with Sony. But I know it's not really something that related or should be a thing you base selling your gear on. But I also hate the fanboys for Sony. I feel like they're the most vocal ones at all. Like, I just have to get off my chest. When I see people complain about Canon online, it annoys the hell out of me. Like, oh, the Canon new cameras, garbage, you know, R5, R6 are useless. Number one, a lot of people like myself are stills only photographers. We don't care if the video overheats. We don't care what the video specs are. Simple as that. And when it comes to stills, the Canon currently beats the Sonys for AF. They pretty much match them in dynamic range now as well. There is no complaints. There's nothing to complain about. And either way, there is no reason to complain. If you're not going to own that body and it's not affecting you, there is no reason to complain about it. You can say, maybe do one post. Oh, it's a bit disappointing. You know, this doesn't do that. That's it. There's no reason to go. Say someone goes, oh my God, I can't wait to get this body. It's the perfect body. And then going and harassing them and being like, oh, what's wrong with you? This is useless. You should get a Sony. Leave them alone. It's their opinion. They want to do it, do it. As simple as that. But that's just one minor annoyance. I find, you know, people do it from all brands, Nikon users, Canon users, but I feel Sony users are the most vocal about this, which is really annoying me. No matter what camera you get, you will get a great camera. It's all up to you to have the skill to be able to use that camera properly. That pretty much covers that. Hopefully I didn't rant again too much about the whole brand stuff. I feel like another reason why I haven't been into photography as much is when I try and read about photo news and stuff, which is usually what gets me into it. I just see all this stuff and it just annoys me and I can't be bothered. I'd rather just watch wrestling or play games for now, but hopefully that'll change soon again. Now, this concludes this episode, so thank you for listening. If you'd like to see tutorials, reviews, or find older episodes of this show, you can find it at tpepodcast.xyz. If you'd like to see my personal work, you can find me at photosbydlwe.com. All of these links will be in the show notes. Otherwise, you can find my links and everything from my website. If you did enjoy this episode, make sure to subscribe so you can be notified when we release a new episode every fortnight. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. Bye.